Guitarist and singer John Pizzarelli is in good company on his new record, My Blue Heaven. Clark Terry is on trumpet, Dave McKenna piano, Milt Hinton bass, Connie Kay drums, and John's father, Bucky Pizzarelli, on guitar. These are some of the musicians John grew up listening to. In fact, some of them played with his father and were guests at the house. John got started playing guitar duets with his father. Now that John also sings, he's become part of the New York cabaret scene. He opens at the Algonquin Hotel January 8th. The new album features mostly standards. Here's a song by one of John's favorite singers, Nat King Cole.
Here's something that I'd like to bring to you, wrapped all in cellophane designed for you. A 2, 3, 4. Tell you what it's all about. It is without a doubt swinging in the latest style. Service with a smile. If you want to swing and shout, get your kicks and get about. I'm an errand boy of rhythm. Send me, well, lace your boots and follow through. I'll deliver straight to you. I'm an errand boy for rhythm. Send me, well, you can always find me down at Smokey Joe's. That's the place where every gal and gator goes. If you want variety, just step in and call for me. I'm an errand boy for rhythm. Send me.
You won the Manhattan Association of Clubs and Cabarets Best Male Jazz Award. So you've been performing at cabarets. I'm sure you've also performed at some jazz clubs. What's the difference between the two scenes, the cabaret scene and the jazz scene?
Actually, in the cabaret, I think what you really have to do is present the songs and give a story and set everything up. There's more time, you know, there's people sort of understand that, I feel, in the cabaret setting. In the jazz setting, it's sort of taken for granted that you can just go and play and express yourself, you know, and everyone will, you know, you don't have to introduce anything, which is sort of the fallback with jazz. I sort of like playing jazz in the cabaret scene because you can talk about things and they expect you to do it. Preconceptions as to what, you know, they're supposed to do. And the jazz players, sometimes I'll go to hear a jazz player and they don't even talk to me, you know, they don't say tell what the songs are, they just play and expect you to take it all in. I'd rather know what the songs are, why they're playing it, or, you know, what are they doing up there? That's what I like about the cabaret scene.
In a way, your singing reminds me of some of the vocals that you'd hear on largely instrumental records, where an instrumentalist would sing a number. Do you know what I mean? Like Hot Lips Page would do like one song,
right?
On
sure.
Record, yeah. and there were often like, you know, light songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. That's the style, I guess, in that I sing, and it's more of a musician singing as opposed to a singer singing.
You know? Right, right. Did singing help get you out of your father's shadow, in the sense that you were doing something that was different than what he did?
Yes, definitely. And it's always, he's a great guitar soloist and a great guitarist in general. And to be able to do something that's my own is something that's important to me. To be known for being a singer is something that I'm not as good a guitar player as he is. And there aren't many people who are, but it's good to be able to do something other than have to be, he's like a guitar player like his father, you know. I'm glad that I can, that's why I like to sing too. It separates us.
So early in your career, you felt that you were in his shadow at times?
Yeah, a lot. When we worked together back in the early 80s, our first gig was, we did 8 weeks at the Pierre Hotel. He had had a group there for about a couple of years, and in the summer, he had taken off. Well, this one summer, I think it was 1980 or 81, they said, "Why don't you stay on and do the summer with your son?" And you know, his piano and bass player took the summer off, and I did it with them, two guitars, and I only knew about 7 songs, and it was an aggravating summer because it was just, you know, on the job training, and he accepted all requests, and you learned everything while you were going, and it was aggravating because I wish I was learning and not enjoying as much as I was learning. It paid off in the end, but we had a lot of fights and everything that summer, in particular, when we were just starting.
Fights about music or fights about other things?
Fights about, music too, in the sense that I wasn't playing a lot of solos on songs. I was just learning the chords and letting him do everything. And in the end, that also worked out because I ended up learning a lot more chords to songs and can play them with singers. And I know a lot of my friends can, you know, and it actually worked out better. But I used to say, why don't you let me solo a little? And I'd play like one or two solos a night in a 4-hour period, and that would be about it. And that was aggravating when I was young, but now it, you know, I know he made the right decision.
You play a duet with your father on the new record on Don't Get Around Much Anymore.
Right.
I want to play some of that. Tell us who's playing which part here.
Okay. The opening melody of the song is played by my father, and then I play the first solo. You can actually hear me grunting and breathing and doing all sorts of weird things. It's the way they record it. The microphone is actually in front of my nose, I think. I actually started playing guitar in sixth grade, so I must have been about 10 or 11 years old. I actually played banjo, tenor banjo first. My uncles were tenor banjo players from Paterson, New Jersey. And when I was about 7, my father, it's the only time he ever told me I was going to do anything. he had a banjo, his father's banjo, and said, you're going to learn from your uncles how to play the banjo. You start tomorrow and that's that. So I went down to the music store where my uncle Bobby Dominic was teaching and learned how to play the tenor banjo, and I would play duets with them. I learned songs like Bye Bye Blues and Bye Bye Blackbird. Anything that began with Bye Bye was basically what I would learn first.
So how did you switch from banjo to guitar?
I sort of didn't play the banjo for a while. After about 2 or 3 years, I just sort of didn't practice and things, and then I found the guitar was there were always guitars out on the couch in the house. There's always a guitar in every room, you know, laying in a corner or something, and decided to apply the things that I knew on the banjo to the guitar. And I opened up, I remember, as if it were yesterday, I played, they had the Elton John songbook, and I looked at the dots and everything and put my fingers on the guitar neck where they're supposed to be, and I played, the song was Country Comfort, if you remember that one. And just decided to teach myself how to play guitar. And I just went on from there. I really never took any lessons from my dad because we didn't have the patience for each other, really.
I'm sure you grew up with rock and roll as well as with jazz. What do you think it was that got you to head in the direction of jazz instead of rock?
As I'd like to say employment, because I was working with my father a lot. But I think that's what it was. I think I enjoyed working with my dad, and that's what he did. If he were a rock and roller, I would have played rock and roll. And I enjoyed, we worked a lot, and that's what kept me busy. And I loved it. Right after I came from college in 1980, about a year later, we were opening for Benny Goodman around the country. We did about 8 or 9 dates in the year. And it was a thrill to see the King of Swing every night, you know, be on a plane with him and do things. And it was a lot of interesting experiences like that. And I just enjoyed being around all those people. Everybody that I was around, you know, that my father knew, they were really greats. You know, when I saw Clark Terry and Milt Hinton as a child, and these were big guys. You knew who these guys were, the, you know, they write encyclopedias and they start with those guys, you know. Zoot Sims is one of the great tenor saxophone players. So to be around those people was thrilling, and that's what kept me in jazz. I mean, I met so many of those guys, you know, just to try and be like them is, you know, was what I wanted to do.
This album is the first album I've heard you scat on.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's actually the first album I do my entire arsenal of musical tricks. And for example, on Errand Boy for Rhythm, Clark Terry didn't, like, on certain songs, Clark just left the room. You know, we'd, like, finish a take, and they say that was good, then Clark never would come back. So I was wondering where he was for Errand Boy for Rhythm as it was. So that one, I ended up playing a longer guitar solo than I thought. On another one, That's What, is one where it's actually sort of a, I like that song because Oscar Moore and Nat Cole wrote. Oscar Moore was Nat Cole's guitar player, and on the record, Nat scats the melody, and Oscar Moore plays it. And on this song, I have to play it and scat it at the same time. My father always likes that, too. He says, do that scatting thing you do. I like that.
Guitarist and singer John Pizzarelli. His new album, My Blue Heaven, is on Chesky. From January 8th until February 3rd, John Pizzarelli performs at the Algonquin Hotel in New York. This is Fresh Air.